Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. And we are going to begin at verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a lot that we could pay attention to in this passage here, but I want just to take out of verse number 12, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's eternal. It does not have an expiration date on it. It does not have a term of limitations upon it. It is eternal redemption. And then he goes back into the Old Testament. He said, now if the blood of bulls and bullocks and the ashes of an heifer and sprinkle the unclean, if that is able to sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. He said, I want to talk about something different. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit offered himself, purge your conscience. It's eternal redemption. It's able to purge our conscience. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach something here this morning that I have felt for several days. And as I was putting it together, I began to recognize a thread in this passage or in this sermon today. It goes back and it pulls upon a couple of other messages. I did not realize that until I was completing this. And so I realized that there is, can I say this without being too sharp? There is an issue. There is an issue somewhere amongst us. There is an issue. And I think issue is probably a hard word, and that's not really the word that I'm looking for. There's just a dilemma that is there. And the Lord wants to help you today. I feel it. I feel it. The Lord wants to help you today. Somebody is hung up, and maybe more than one, but the Lord wants to help us. I want to talk this morning about the concept of forgiveness. The concept of forgiveness. Would you ask the Lord to help us here today? God, we cannot do anything without you. We don't possess the ability. We do not have the talent. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the knowledge, the smarts, to be able to accomplish what the Spirit needs to do in this place here today. I pray, God, that your Spirit would reach down and move in this house, Lord Jesus, and that your Spirit would visit our minds, our souls, and our spirits today. God, let an altar be waiting for us here this morning. An altar of mercy, an altar of forgiveness, an altar of compassion, Lord. Let it be waiting for us here today. And you ready, Lord Jesus, to do the work of atonement, God. Lord, to our present day, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 said, and the Lord God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter number 4 says that man begat Seth. We know that he had already begat Cain and Abel. A lineage is going to go through Seth. He said, and he, Adam, begat Seth. Later on in following verses, the Bible would say that Seth begat Enos, and Enos begat Canaan, and Canaan begat, and therefore the thread of begats would become. And it did not stop in Genesis, but it would continue on through the book of Numbers and into the Chronicles. As a matter of fact, the word begat is mentioned 225 times in our scriptures, finalizing in the New Testament, whether in Matthew or in Luke, but it was so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And from one, we go to many. As a matter of fact, there are 3,237 people that are named in the scripture, while many go unnamed but are yet referred to, such as the Shunammite woman. But beyond all of that, we would see that the children of Israel would be numbered at different times. And when Moses would number them after that they had come out of Egypt, the Bible records that there are 603,550 men that have been begotten and that are 20 years of age or older. That does not include all of the women and the children and the elderly, because when you would include them, we have some 2 million that have been begotten. And then in the times of Jesus, the population of the world has increased to somewhere between 150 million to 300 million. And in 1804 is recorded that the earth was inhabited by the first time by 1 billion people. 123 years later, 1927, it surpassed the 2 billion mark. And 33 years later, in 1960, it surpassed 3 billion upon the face of the earth. 1974, 14 years later, man, population of earth would be 4 billion people. And in 2024, there were 8,142,000,000,000 people upon the face of the earth. And that is increasing some 70 to 80 million people per year. Amen. Somebody begetting somebody else. Amen. Why did I list all of that? Because I just want you to know that even though that the earth is populated by more than 8 billion people upon the face of the earth, and we have contrition and rates and such, and so you have those that die, but yet those that are living, amen, every single person, all 8 billion plus people that live upon the face of this earth, and all of those that have gone on before us, every one of them have this thing called a past. Everybody has a past. And every person carries that past with them, amen, until the day that they die. And that is really the only time that the past becomes silent. I just want you to think about that for a moment of time. That the only way possible for the past, amen, to remain in the grave is that the individual himself would pass away with it. Praise God. I'm going to go back to that here in a moment's time. But while our past, amen, helps us to shape who we are, it was never meant to define, amen, who we can become. Yet many people who remain trapped by the memories and the failures and the haunts and the guilts and the pains are unable to move forward into what God would really desire them to be. And the enemy of our soul would love to use the past as chains of bondage, holding us prisoner to the past choices and the actions that we have participated in. And the past possesses a power that is able to rob every individual, not only of their present, but also of their future. Praise God. Let me just talk to you today, amen, that the children of Israel had some major problems when they were living in the land of bondage, in the land of Egypt, and they were slaves to the Egyptian, and they were beat cruelly until they began to cry out for a deliverer. And we know that God would send a deliverer, that God himself would be the deliverer and would cause Moses to lead them out of that land of slavery into the future promised land. And when they came to the Red Sea, the Bible says that Moses would stretch forth his rod over that, and the waters would part, and the children of Israel would walk through those waters and onto dry ground. And the Egyptians would follow into those waters with the water walled up on the each side of them. And somewhere in the middle, the waters would come together. And the Bible teaches us that God drowned, amen, the children of Israel's enemies. Can I say it like this? In all reality, amen, that it was in the water that God drowned the past of the Egyptians. Amen. He done away, amen, with Israel's past in the waters. Praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible teaches us that the Israelites were able to see their enemies drowned and washed upon the seashore. And I can imagine as they would look and they would see the Egyptians, maybe one of them would notice, I know that individual. He's the one that used to lay the stripes on my back. He's the one that used to give me a hard time. But then somebody called to attention a bejeweled hand of an individual with a muddy face and maybe a crown or a scepter that was covered in mud off to the side. And somebody said, would you look at this? And somebody else would say, that's none other but Pharaoh himself. Amen. In that God had drowned not only the Egyptians, but had drowned the master of the Egyptians, Pharaoh himself. And they were able to take a look at that. And they should have been able to say, thank God that our past is forever gone, that our past has been destroyed, even in the waters. But we would see that it did not take very long whatsoever at all before the children of Israel began to murmur, and they began to complain, and they began to call to remembrance their past. Amen. They were enslaved by their past. Amen. And they said, would to God that we had dwelt in the land of Egypt. Would to God that we would have just stayed in Egypt. They soon forgot about the hard and the cruel ways of the taskmaster. They soon forgot about the pain and the anguish. They soon forgot about somebody telling them when to get up and when to go to bed, and how tired and how weak that they would be after these times. They soon forgot all about this. Amen. And they would say, I just want to go back to the leeks and to the onions. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very appetizing or appealing unto me, that if I've got to remember things concerning the past, and that I think to myself, I want to go back to the dregs of society. I want to go back to the vomits of this world. I want to go back, amen, to the pain and the anguish. I want to go back to the headaches. I want to go back to the shame and the embarrassments. I want to go back to the hurts. I want to go back to all of those. I want to go back to the leeks and the onions of the past. Amen. Can I just tell you something today? That even though that God had killed the Egyptians, even though that God had destroyed them, and the Israelites saw them dead upon the seashore of the Red Sea, they were still in bondage by dead Egyptians. That enemy could not take a breath. That enemy could not walk. That enemy could not say one thing. But the children of Israel were still enslaved by dead Egyptians. They were enslaved by their past. They could not see into the future. The only thing that they could see was in the past. They were not looking forward. They were looking behind them. Amen. They didn't get tripped up many times by the things that were ahead of them. They tripped and stumbled over the things that were behind them. And such is the case with so many people in this world today. They simply cannot get past the past. Amen. They cannot see the future for what lays behind them. They can't see promises because of the hurts. They can't see deliverances because of yesterday's failures. They can't see victories because of yesterday's past. Amen. And the failures that are there. They cannot go forward victorious into their future because the past, even though that has been dead, even though that it has been washed away in the waters of baptism, they cannot get past it because they continue to trip and stumble over the things of yesterday. Praise God, that's not the will of God. Amen, but that is what the devil wants to do. You see, amen, very seldom is the devil able to use your future to hinder you. Amen, because your future is where God is leading you. But where the devil wants to get you is just to continue to try to drag you back to the past, a place that God has brought you from, a place that God has delivered you from, a place that God has put under your feet. And the devil just wants to continue to bring up the past. He has nothing in the present to bring up. He has nothing in the future to hold against you, but everything that is in the past, he brings. I want to talk to you this morning about the concept of forgiveness. Amen. The whole reason that we have forgiveness today is to deal with our past. Amen. Forgiveness isn't to deal with the future. Forgiveness isn't to deal with the right now. Forgiveness is to deal with the past, whether it was this morning, whether it was 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, or 15 years ago. Amen. This concept of forgiveness, this beautiful element of forgiveness, is to deal with our past. Oh, let's love him today. My. Ho, 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 ho. Do you realize that every drop of blood that was shed by a bull or a bullock, amen, was because of somebody past? Do you realize that every animal that lost their life, amen, in that old tabernacle in the wilderness was because of somebody's past? Do you realize that every animal that was sacrificed, amen, in Solomon's temple was dealing with somebody's past? I understand that there were sacrifices for other things. Amen. There was a sin sacrifice, trespass sacrifice, amen, meal sacrifice and everything. Amen. But it all was dealing with somebody's past. Amen. That God has brought us into fellowship. That God has brought us through things. Amen. But every drop of blood that was shed, amen, had some type of thread that would tie it back to the past. You don't have to go there anymore. Every life that was shed was for somebody's past. You don't have to go back to your past. You don't have to remember your past. You don't have to live in your past. The countless number of animals that was slaughtered because of somebody's past. Yet one time, the Bible says that God never
manifest in the flesh. Amen. Walked unto Calvary's cross and shed his blood. Amen. For our eternal redemption, that we could have forgiveness from our past.
Physically, the Israelites were not in Egypt. Physically, they weren't being told what to do. Physically, they weren't being beat anymore. But mentally, they were still in Egypt. Mentally, they were still being told what to do. Mentally, they were still suffering abuse from dead Egyptians. That's the power of the past. That is the power of the past. We understand the principle of going back to the past means that we're going in reverse, not forward. And the ironic thing about it is a great percentage of us today have no desire to go back and experience the past again. The anguish, the hurt, the shame, bitterness, all that's in our past that we want to be left there, we often find ourselves going and visiting, digging it back up. Do you realize that the only way that your past can live is by you, through you? You're the only thing that can give your past life. The past does not have the ability to speak out of thin air. But yet we give life to our past by mentally dwelling on it. And in our minds, we go back. I know that there are some good things that we like to remember in the past. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the thing, because those things don't trip you up and bind you up. It's the hurts and the haunts. It's issues. It's shame. It's the regrets. Some of these regrets may be 35 years old. Some of them may be, I hope not, 35 minutes old. Nevertheless, whether it's 35 years or 35 minutes, it's still the past. We're creating the past as we go forward into things. That's why it's important to let God lead us. That's why it's important to guard our minds, to watch our tongue, to control our tongue. Because it's going to say things that we're going to regret. Actions that's going to take place. I would venture to say that there's not a person in this building this morning that would say, I have no problems with my past as far as shame or embarrassment. There's things in our past that we wish that we could just go back and blot out. Yet that's exactly what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that though the handwriting of ordinances was against us, in other words, our past, the reality of our past was against us, the Bible teaches us that the blood of Jesus blotted out those transgressions. Those things that are written in black and white in our lives that seem that they can't be undone. The Bible teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ covers them, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, Colossians said. In other words, when it's covered in blood, you can't read it any longer. It's not necessarily that it was expunged, as in a blank page. It's a bloody page. But you know where all of that happened? At an altar of repentance, where we received forgiveness. That's the whole concept of forgiveness. Let me tell you, if we look at forgiveness through God's eyes rather than our eyes, let me tell you what you would see. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, he said, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions, or can I say your past, from you. That's looking through the eyes of God. Put on, he don't need glasses, but put on his eyesight today. And he would say, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far. One of our Bible studies on a Tuesday night back there, Brother Joshua was commenting, and he said, you notice that the Bible doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because upon the face of this earth, you can only go north so far before you start going south. But yet you can go east and never meet up with west. You can continue to go east all the way. He said, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 43 and 25, the Lord said, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sins. God says, there's no good that can come about this if I'm remembering your transgressions. He said, I, the Lord, am the one that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake. I'll never be able to hold it against you. Why do you hold it against yourself? When the Lord God of heaven, that ruleth over everything, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the judge of all things, the supreme leader, doesn't hold it all against you at all. He said, for my own sake, I remove these transgressions from you. Isaiah 38 and 17, behold the peace. I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all of my sins behind your back. Isaiah said, you have taken all of my sins and you put them behind your back. What does that mean? That means that he just forgets about them. Because that's what you do when you put things behind your back. Things that are not in sight, out of mind. But you know what? We tend to focus on the yesterday and the yesteryears. And they're not behind our back. They're our focus. But yet Isaiah said, Lord, you took all of my sins, all of my transgressions, all of the things that I don't, and you put them behind your back. You don't see them any longer. Let me give you an illustration. Jesus walked to a fig tree and he looked at it. He looked at it. And he said, why cumberest it the ground? And he cursed it and he went on about his day. He put it behind him, and he walked away from it. And you know what happened when he walked away from it? It died. The disciples would come back later and they would stare at it in amazement and say, how is it that the Lord just came by here this morning and it's already withered up and it's dead? It was a fig tree. It had no figs on it. And Jesus walked away from it and it died. Now, if I take you to another example of the fig tree, the Lord walks up to the fig tree just as he had done before. He looks at it. He sees that it has no figs upon it. And he would that it would die. He said, cut it down. And he walks away from it. But what kept it alive was the one that owned the tree. And he said, let me try to fix the issue. Let me try to deal with the problem. And I'm going to try to dig around it. And I'm going to try to fertilize it. I'm going to try to help it. That is the only thing that kept it alive. Jesus has a way of putting things behind his back. And that example is for us to do the same thing. There are some things in our past. Yea, there are lots of things in our past that need to be put behind us. And they need to stay there. The things that you could not get over yesterday don't have to be the same things that you can't get over today. The things that you couldn't get past yesterday don't need to be the same things that you can't get past today. Amen. That's not the concept of forgiveness. The concept of forgiveness is God said, leave the past in the past. Let the dead bury the dead. And let's not go back to it anymore. As a matter of fact, an Israelite would walk out of the camp, walk through the fields, and the Bible said that if he would stumble upon a dead body that had been killed sometime in the past, obviously if it's a corpse he may have seen it. It's just bones, you know, some things that we call skeletons. And if he would stumble over the skeleton, guess what? He was considered unclean. The principle of the matter is, you don't get clean by go visiting the skeletons in your closet. As a matter of fact, you're going to come away unclean. Your mind and your conscience are living over here. And the Lord said, that's not what I designed it to be. I designed you to live in liberty. I designed for you to live in victory. I designed for you, amen, to be a new creature in Christ. What did he say? He said, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Amen. And though the outward man would perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Why? You don't need to let yesterday trip you up. You don't need to let yesterday hold you hostage. You don't need to let yesterday get the victory over you. You don't need to let yesterday, amen, keep you bound up by things. Amen. Since the mercies of God are renewed every morning, you need to live every day as it is a brand new beginning. I may not have been everything that I needed to be yesterday, but today's a new day. I may not have done everything like I needed to do yesterday, but today is a new day. I'm not justifying sin, but what I am promoting is don't let yesterday's sin hold you hostage today. There is something that God ordained, provided, and built into this whole thing called forgiveness. And God is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. Praise God. Let's stand here this morning. Not necessarily going to let yesterday's declaration and clarification of long-winded preacher be who I am today. I just wonder today how many people, and I'm not talking about only in this room, but I just wonder how many people upon the face of the earth been set free, been baptized. The things that used to bind you, hold you, hurt you, rule you, dictate to you, God took care of them in a baptistry, in water, washed them away. They died in the waters of baptistry. But I wonder how many are still bound by dead things. Dead things. That's what the scripture tells us. Having obtained eternal redemption. I just feel led to say it again. The devil's tool against you is your past. He will not let go. And continuing to bring your past against you, berating you with your past, beating you up with your past, enslaving you with your past. When those things in reality are dead. Purse our conscience from dead works. You say, well, I haven't been everything that I need to be since baptism. Does that mean that I need to be baptized again? No, we're not laying again the foundation of repentance, baptism, and stuff like that. But we do have a God. John wrote the church in the epistle of John. John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. He said, if we say we have no sin, we lie. But he said it like this. He said, if we confess our sins unto him, he is just and able to forgive us of all our sin. I can't stand up here this morning and tell you why you experienced everything that you experienced. I can't stand up here today and tell you why you faced, why you went through, why you had to, everything that you've done. There are people in our lives, people in this world that really had no choice in what happened to them. They were molested, may have been raped. Those are things that we don't like to talk about. Those are things that are real, and those are things that are reality. And the devil loves to hang those skeletons out. They're dead. You say, but they're very much alive in my mind. That's because we give them residence. So how can I do it? I don't have all of your answers, but I do have a God. Can you imagine Paul's past coming back and haunting him? Of the people that he abused and the people that he beat, may have killed. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I wonder how many times those skeletons started rattling in his closet. But you know what he said? Philippians chapter number 3, he said it like this. Forgetting those things which are behind me. What is he saying? You cannot undo the past. You can't go back and change it. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press forward. He said, I press towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he was saying is, it's not always easy. It's not a walk in the park. But I refuse to go back and dwell there in my mind. I refuse to let those memories rule my present and obstruct my future. He said, I've just got to forget them. It is a conscience decision. And you may have to do it on a daily basis. But I'm not going back. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to my past. You may have messed up this week. You've got to make a conscience decision. I'm not going to allow the past to rule me. I've got to press forward every day. You just got to set your shoulders and you got to push. I press. I don't stroll because there's opposition against me. I press. It's not necessarily forward opposition trying to push me back. It's backward opposition trying to pull me back. But I'm forgetting those things. I've got to go on unto perfection. I've got to go forward. I've went back and as I ended this message today before I printed it out, I thought about 2 weeks of talking about a God of another chance. This past Wednesday, I preached on the reassurance of God, reassuring you. And there's another message that came to my mind that slips my mind at the moment. But it's all been within the past month. Somebody needs to bring their past down here tonight and let it die. Bury it. Bury it. Let it go. The only reason it has life is because you continue to give it life. God's not holding it against you. God's not giving it life. That is the power of forgiveness. That's the whole concept of forgiveness. Because he knew that one of the greatest and the hardest things that you would ever have to deal with is your past. And so he instituted forgiveness. We're going to put forgiveness in here just because of each individual's past. Praise God. Let it go. Let it go. These altars are open here this morning. Amen. Praise God. Why sit there and wait? Why halt ye between two opinions? What is so alluring about the past? What is so important? All it brings is heartaches and bad memories and issues. I want you to recognize something, that every time you start feeling great victory in your life, what happens? The devil comes bringing up the past again, rattling skeletons that are in the closets. It's time to get past it, to move on. Would you do that this morning?